All right, go ahead and have a seat. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas Eve, whatever you want to call it. Couple things, couple of announcements. We're going to be doing Sunday nights, not what we're doing Sunday night tonight. It's not going to be your conventional meeting. A lot of worship, scripture reading, no sermon, but just focusing on the Lord. So we're going to read the story. We're going to sing the story and the songs. By the way, I will go off on some tangents. When I was a kid, you know, I loved, you know, the Rudolph songs and the Frosty and, all the real Christmas songs. And I didn't really care about these Emmanuel and Jesus Christ Came to Save Us songs. I'm like, those songs aren't fun. That no one talks about snow and Santa Claus didn't come to Bethlehem. Who wants to hear all that? And, you know, not to be, I'm so spiritual, but as I got closer to the Lord, I started to like the carols, the real songs better, especially because we can read the words up there and you are reading the gospel. And it's like, yeah, Frosty's cool and Rudolph has a red nose. He was drinking too much, but these songs, they are the real deal. And the cool thing about it is we're going to be singing those bad boys up in heaven. Those are eternal songs. I mean, you know, you talk about the oldies but goodies and, you know, good songs never die. Well, those are the best songs, and they never die. And we're going to be singing them tonight. I was told to remind you, we're going to be doing Sunday nights starting on the 7th, and we're going to be going through the book of Nehemiah. And before we get into our message, I feel it must be addressed. It was brought up earlier. I am wearing a tie. Me and Daryl were sporting them. Some concern was expressed. I you know, first of all, I thought I was interrupting a poker game because all the guys were huddled around there on their phones, and I'm thinking, what's the buy-in? What do I have to do to become part of this game? And then the game stopped. I thought the law had broken up the game because they all stopped and they rushed me, and they, what's this? And I was like, wow. And Steve says, are we still a Calvary Chapel? Should we take the dove down? So if you check with Jay, if you look in the bylaws, twice a year, it's okay. Twice a year is okay. Christmas/Christmas Eve, Good Friday/Easter, it's okay. I will throw in a tie just to mess you up. Just to keep you honest, so it'll be July, and I'll come in with a tie and shorts, but just to mess you up. But and also because this was a gift last year. Who did one now? Oh, I don't do clip-ons. Why bother? I'm sorry if you do, but I don't. But this one, my girls got me this one, and it's, I know, aww. But wait for it, because it gets better. So it's green and red, Christmas, right? Well, yeah. But look closer at the door. You know, I'm just going to leave it at that. Look closer at the door. There's a hidden message. If the force is with you, you'll be able to see it. Wink, wink, nod, nod. So, but it was, ever so often you get a perfect gift that it just fits your personality. I got to say it. I know you guys are not the hand-raising crowd, and I get it, because me neither are I. But I got to ask, be honest, we're in church. Who's still looking for a gift for someone? I mean, I'm not. I'm just trying to make you feel better because Ann does all the shopping. Cool. So that's good, because the title of this message is The Perfect Gift / because I always have an alternate one in the back of my head. Better late than never. So that could be for you. But every year that you look for that perfect gift for that person that you know, because the grants are pretty, I'm not very demonstrative. And so when I get something that I really like, it's like, whoa. And you know, and I mean, usually if it has something to do with Star Wars or bacon, and Jay killed it because he got me a Star Wars shirt with bacon on it. So I'm like, whoa. And so ever so often you get a perfect gift. You find that perfect gift for that person. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. But I can't bring that up without saying, I got a perfect gift earlier this week. A brother, a dear brother, comes over. He says, Jeremy, I saw this over at the food closet, and I thought of you. If you've been around, there's been all this kerfuffle with the mic. Do I use the stationary mic? Do I use the Garth Brooks mic? Not the Madonna, the Garth Brooks mic, for obvious reasons. But there's been this whole thing. So Brother Mike comes over. He says, I know you've had this problem with the microphone, and we found this over in the food closet, so I brought it to you. It is a Barbie microphone. I don't know if it works. I was going to give it to Nate so he could sing into it this morning. But I'm going to keep it. It's going to go on my desk because it is the perfect gift for a perfect jive turkey like me. So anyway, these guys we're going to read about, they were bringing the gift. We're in Matthew chapter 2. And if you're a purist, don't freak out. I know I'm early with this part of the story. I know this didn't happen yet. If you have a nativity set, you notice that these guys are nowhere near Jesus, the wise man. The nativity set is in the fireside room or over there. So they're still looking. When the Lord came that original Christmas, they weren't there. They were still on the road. They hadn't, and we'll look at that this morning. But a lot of people get hung up on that. I just want to let you know. Time had passed. It says, now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Wise men could also be magi, as in magician. From the east, you could just put Babylon. These were guys that were doing what the prophet Daniel was doing in Babylon hundreds of years previously. And you'll see that there's a point to what I'm saying. Verse 2 saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And see, that is the cool thing about our Lord, because these guys are astrologers. They were guys that studied the stars. And the Lord uses this passion that they have, this vocation that they practice, he uses this to get their attention. He uses, you know, what are you? I'm a stargazer. I'm an astronomer. I'm an astrologer. And the Lord says, okay, I can use that. You know, what do you like to do? I like to play in the dirt. So become an archaeologist and go dig up all those treasures over in Israel and the surrounding areas, and you'll meet the Lord that way. The Lord, he doesn't use something that you hate to get your attention. He uses something that you're passionate about to get your attention. So he does that with these guys. And it says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him, for a very good reason. Herod was crazy. There's no polite way to say it. He wasn't bipolar. He wasn't dysfunctional. He was crazy. He was probably renting out space upstairs to a couple of billion demons. It was said, I mean, in headquarters in Rome, the people that put Herod in charge, they said, you know, it's safer to be Herod's pig than to be Herod's wife. Because that was true. Because Herod, he'd killed one of his wives. He'd killed three of his sons. If he saw servants or even his sons, because the story goes, he saw two of his sons look in a corner and they looked up at him and they started whispering. He killed them because he thought they were plotting on him. He was all kinds of crazy. So, and as we do not know this, we just have to borrow this from history. Maybe you know someone of whom this is true, but when you have crazy leaders running the show, people kind of worry. People kind of get sketchy. Oh my gosh, I just coughed. What are they going to do to me next? Oh man, we've got this thing. Are they going to tax me? Not us. People maybe that we know. But that was the way that it was going in those days. And you know what? Can I just say? Everyone gets really wigged out. Manny kind of touched on it. Everybody gets wigged out because the world is crazy. The world has always been crazy. People have always been sinners. People have always been silly and stupid. Nothing has changed, just the clothing has changed. Not my vest, because it's vintage, which means old. But it's the same now as it was back then. And guess what happened? Because the days were quite dark. But guess who showed up? Jesus. And so we can say, oh, you know, it wasn't like this 20 years ago. It was. It wasn't like this 40 years ago. It was. It wasn't like this 100 years ago. It was. You know, if you look at the history of America, we've always been on the precipice of destruction. Always. And then something happens. Some preacher out somewhere starts talking about someone, and a whole bunch of nobodies get saved and turned into somebodies. And before you know it, there's an upswing. Things change. And it encourages me. May it encourage you as well. It says, verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So these wise men, not three, they could have been two, could have been 300. It just says it was multiple. They come from multiple miles, thousands, well, hundreds, maybe thousands of miles. They make the trek. They burn the gas. They spend the money to go there. And they go as far as they can. And they say, hey, you know, we saw the star. We're looking for this king because someone had planted this bug in our ears years ago. We're looking for this king, which must have just freaked Herod out. I'm the king. What are you talking about? But he played it kind of cool. He played it close to the vest. So then he calls in the scribes and the chief priests. Hey, do you know what they're talking about? Yeah, we know what they're talking about. He's supposed to be down the road because it says thus and so in the Bible. I had heard this so many times about, you compare the wise men with the scribes, and it's shameful. The scribes were Jews. They were people that should have been looking for the Christ. The wise men were pagans. They were like Miss Cleo. They were like Gene Dixon. If you get my reference, you got some of this. If you're like, who are they? What YouTube are they on? Don't worry about it. It's not helpful. But they were pagan, and they came all, I mean, they inconvenienced themselves to come and meet the Lord, but not these guys. Why I say this is Bethlehem is literally right down the road from Jerusalem. It's 5 miles. Years ago, I went with this guy, and like I said, I had heard it a billion times. It was right down the road. How come they couldn't go? It was right down the road. How come they couldn't go? It was right down the road. How come they couldn't go? And we were there, and we're like, hey, we're going to go down towards Bethlehem because we couldn't actually go because there it's occupied. But we went to, you know, the outskirts, and like, wow, it's right down the road. Why didn't they go? It's so convenient. Why can you just go on a LARF and just say, you know what, we'll pick up some falafels while we're down there. We won't waste the trip. We'll buy something. We'll make it a day trip. Go down there, see if it's anything to this. Oh, there's nothing? We'll go home. No big deal. They wouldn't even make the 5 mile trek. And I think of us, not us, because, you know, you guys came out, so I'm going to talk to you. But I think of a lot of Christians. And I think of what can happen in our heart. Because compare the wise men with the scribes. And this is a danger. It's a danger for every last one of us. Do you care more or do you know more? Because the scribes knew a lot. The scribes could go, oh, he's in Bethlehem because X, Y, and Z and this and the prophet said that. They knew so much. But they didn't care enough to go 5 miles down the road. The wise men, all they knew is that there was this star that wouldn't burn out, and they wanted to see why. That's all they knew. And they knew a couple of the scriptures that I think Daniel had left behind years previous. And they were just following the clues. And they came out. One of my teachers at Biola years ago, telling Jay about him, he was one of the coolest guys ever. And he'd get up there and he'd say, people will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Because then if it's just knowledge without caring, if it's just knowledge without heart, you just run in your mouth. You're just a know-it-all. But if you care, you can give them one little verse. You can say, Jesus wept, and it'll change your life because you care. I would rather, good thing, because I don't know anything, I'd rather care more than I know. Who cares what you know? You got to show that you care. And it was not even the wise men, they cared, and they showed it. The scribes couldn't have cared less, and they showed it by doing nothing. It says then, verse 7, Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. That's another clue that we know they're not in the manger and it's not Christmas time. Time had passed. He's about 2 years old at this time, Jesus is. And the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. It's funny, things have not changed. We're crossing out of the most wonderful time of the year, and we're crossing into the most wretched time of the 4 years, the election cycle. And so we're going to see a lot of this and a lot of slapping fives and hugging in churches that they don't even know the names of. All these politicians are going to, they're going to catch Jesus fever this next year. Everyone's going to love the Lord so much. Everybody's going to want to be faith-based, but they're not. They're just using the Lord to get a couple of votes out of people. And nothing's really changed. Because Herod says, oh yeah, go and find him because I want to worship him too. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But his intent was, he's a threat. I'm going to remove him. Some people feel that way today. It hasn't changed. I just say that to say, it hasn't changed. It's still, I mean, nothing's new under the sun. It says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and it stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They found what they were looking for. And I think we forget this. I mean, if you've been saved a long time, we really forget what we are doing now. We get used to it. We've forgotten what this is all about. Because if you came to Christ, I'm going to say maybe in your mid to late teens and beyond, you know what you found. If you came earlier, you know what you found, but you focus on what you missed out on. Well, I didn't get to go and do this, and I didn't get to go and blow my brains out on drugs, and I didn't get to go and get arrested, and I didn't get to go and have a testimony and then get saved and be like, yay! But if you came to the Lord late in life, you know exactly what you found, and you know exactly what you left. Wow, I left a bunch of emptiness. I left a bunch of hangovers. I left one lady at our church. I'll tell the story because she wouldn't trip over it. All the things that people say when they come out of being drunk, such as, where's my car? Where am I? And so I'm doing this riff years ago at our church, and she comes up to me at the end and says, Jeremy, you forgot one. Why is my leg broken? Because, you know, she was partying and broke her leg and woke up like, wow, that don't look right. It's supposed to be straight, right? Those are all things that we gave up for Christ. But if you came out of that and you found him, every last one of us says, all the things that I was looking for, I found it in Christ. Every last thing that I was looking for, I found it in Christ. And, you know, I try not to watch news. I mean, when Carice was first born, that's when I had to stop watching the news because I would talk back to the news. And we had a president, you can do the math. We had a president that I didn't care too much for it. So he'd come out and he'd blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And I would get upset. And I would say, shut up. Now, he couldn't hear me because he was off in Washington telling lies. I mean, running the country. And so, and I'm telling him to shut up, and he can't hear me, but, you know, I've got this little kid whose ears are working, and her mouth is starting to work, and her brain is starting to connect the two. So she's there, she's like, shut up. And I'm like, so I had to quit saying shut up, and I haven't said shut up since. I am happy to say I am reformed from, no, the cow's out of the barn, so who cares at this point? But I forgot where I was going. I used to say shut up, and now I don't, and I was real cute for saying that. But you find the Lord, and you realize this is it. And you look, okay, I was talking about the news. So you look at all these people that are whining about this, that, and the other. One group says, we've got to have peace. Peace is good. Then you got another group, we can't have peace unless we have arms, you know, guns and tanks. Well, that kind of makes sense. And then you have another group, we need justice. You know, we're letting these crooks off with slaps on the wrist. We need justice. I'm for that. Justice, fairness, acceptance, equity, forgiveness, fulfillment. Every last one of these things, they're found in Christ. And it's if people from all these different corners that hate each other, because if you don't see it the way I see it, we're not going to get along. It's funny. If this guy comes, he says, wow, I found peace with Christ. And this guy comes and says, I found justice in Christ. And this lady comes and I found equity in Christ. And this person comes. And for whatever reason, they come. And guess what? Everyone's meeting around Christ. And all of a sudden, people have come together. Isn't that what they're saying? This is the time, Christmas is the time for people to come together. I don't know why I think they talk like Kermit the Frog, but that's the way I hear it. But, you know, come together and hold hands, and yeah. And that's cool, but when every time you try to do things that only Christ can do by guilting people into it or by forcing people to do it, it's just ugly. But when people come together and they do it because they love Christ, and now all of a sudden I love you and you love me and we all love one another, man, it's a beautiful thing. It's not just people getting along, it's family. Everyone found exactly what they were looking for, and here's a bonus, you found a family to boot, and not the kind of family where you're like, oh no, because it's going to happen. Ding dong, and you're going to look out to people. How'd they know we were home? Shh, don't say nothing. We know you're in there. Oh, okay. We smell the turkey. Family that you want to be with. This kind of family. The family's coming up tomorrow. They know I'm kidding. But that's the whole thing. And we get it. We get it. The whole world's like, no. We don't need Jesus. We need all the stuff that Jesus brings. And they don't get it because their eyes are blinded. But my whole point is, you know, you read this and it says they were exceedingly joyful. That's why. If you've ever lost something precious to you and you found it, you were happy. You lost your glasses. Where are they? Oh, here they are. I wear glasses not as often as I should, but 90% of the time, they're on my head. And I am happy that I found them because I can't read too well without them. But anyway, it says, verse 11, and when they had come into the house, that's clue number two that some time had passed, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A couple things I want to get out of this. These wise men, they traveled the miles. They spent the money. They burnt up the time because Jesus was worth it. Now, you say that today. If I say that today, well, I just kind of said it today. Everyone will, well, not everybody, but people will line up and say, you're being legalistic. You can't lay that trip on anybody. But let's be honest. If something is worth it to you, you will expend energy. You will spend time. You will spend money. You just will. Why? Because it's worth it to you. And that's what these guys did, because finding Christ was important to them. They found him and they worshiped him. And this is something that I think we've narrowed it, because we say worship and like, oh, they must have, you know, they must have had a guitar and they must start playing and singing some songs. This is a worship service because worship is part of the service. We worship. I love it at Calvary Costa Mesa, they used to have the breakdown of their service. And it would say, we worship in prayer. We worship in song. We worship in giving. We worship in the word. The whole service is worship. So we worshiped with our throats, with our mouths, with our fingers earlier. We worshiped in fellowship as we went around and said hey to somebody. You're worshiping now as you listen and don't throw rocks at me, and I thank you. I get to worship now as I teach, because this is what I love to do. And this is what God put me on this earth to do. So I get to worship as I'm doing this now. As we go our way, we get to worship. Tuesday, a lot of you guys are here on Tuesday. Tuesday is worship all day long over at the food closet. And so many people are part of a worship service here on the Divide, and they don't even know it. It was great because Steve was inviting somebody to church. Hey, come to church. We've got this kooky guy filling in for our real pastor, but he's okay, so come on out. And the lady says, oh, that sounds wonderful. Where's the church? And I was like, not to Jay, but I was outside and the sign was right there. But so many people, because, you know, we're over there and we're worshiping as we're unloading the truck and as we're loading up the cart and as we're handing out the thing. It's all of it that we do for the Lord. It's worship. When you go home and you get to raise your kids, that's worship. Or hanging out with the grandkids, that's worship. When you're talking to that friend that you haven't talked to in a long time, it's worship. If you're doing it as unto the Lord, then do it unto the Lord. But it's worship. The whole thing is worship. And the giving, it's worship. Not to put the emphasis on it, but it's here. So it says, they open up their treasures. Is it trash? Or is it treasure that you bring to the Lord? I'm not receiving an offering. I'm not talking about that. But just, it's a heart thing. Because a lot of times, you know, well, I'll give God my leftovers. God will take it, but God shouldn't have to take it. Is it trash or is it treasure what you give to the Lord? And like I said, it's your whole life, not just, you know, the money, but all of it. Is it trash or is it treasure? And in your heart, you know, we all know. So they open up their treasure and they presented these gifts to him. And check it out, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. If you've ever received socks as a little kid, you know how Jesus felt. What am I supposed to do with this? Could I get a wheel, a ball, a rock, something? I don't want no gold, I don't want no frankincense, I don't want no myrrh. What is the point of this? I've opened up so many packages of socks, and you're like, thank you. And I did like the kid from Christmas Story when they opened up the socks, and like. But the cool thing about these gifts is they were the perfect gift for the perfect king, because the gold will speak of his royalty as king. Because that's what kings wore. The frankincense would speak of his priestly office, because that was the spice that they would offer up. Because he is our great high priest. He pleads our case to the Father. The myrrh was a burial spice, because he was going to be a martyred prophet. If you look at most of the prophets in the Old Testament, you'll never read that, oh, well, Elisha was going to die, so they sent him off to the retirement home for prophets. Prophets didn't retire. They usually got killed. They didn't get a gold watch. They got a necktie, a different kind of necktie. They got ushered out very unceremoniously. They usually died, because when you speak the truth to people on behalf of God, that's what a prophet did, usually it makes people mad, because 90% of the time people are doing wrong and they need to be corrected. People don't like that. I've heard. I know I don't. And so these three gifts perfectly show who Jesus is and what he came to do. So much better than some little trinket or toy. And if you're a practical person, if you're one who you want a calculator for Christmas, you're going to like this. This is what sustained this family for the next couple of years, because this was spendy. It was a practical gift, because Jesus and his family, they were just about as poor as you could be. So this was a practical financial gift to keep him going. And so we'll read on a little bit more and we'll pray and we'll go. It says, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. That is what we should do every time we come here. We come in one way and we leave different. I mean, we're not going to leave, oh, I came in a sinner and I left. Woo, I don't sin anymore. But it's kind of like school. You go into school, you are 100% dumb. But you leave, and you're a little less dumb. We come here, we get to fellowship with one another, we get to hang out with the Lord, we get to hear from him, and we leave a little bit more like him, a little bit less like ourselves, a little bit more aware of the problem that is us. Not perfect, but knowing that we're not perfect and striving to get closer to the perfect one, we leave different. You know, we strive, hey man, if you come here unsaved, please leave saved. But for all of us who know the Lord, man, you leave loving the Lord, we want you to leave loving the Lord. You know about the Lord, man, we want you to know the Lord. We want you to leave a different way. And to wrap it up, wow, Jeremy, that was short. Merry Christmas. That's your gift. You kind of pumped about that, right? The interactive thing. Sometimes I'm like, whoa, where am I? Who are you people? What am I doing? You know, you may look at this and say, I don't have any gold. I don't even know where I could find frankincense and myrrh. Well, I give up. You know, what you've said about seeking the Lord and giving gifts to him, I get that. And that's a noble thing, but I can't give these things. That ancient theologian said it best, Saint Alan of Jackson. All I want is you for Christmas. I don't want nothing else. That's what the Lord is saying. If you're looking for a sign, seriously, if you're like, you know, I'm wondering, is this Jesus stuff real? A black man from Vallejo just came up and quoted Alan Jackson. And this was not for your benefit because I got his albums at home. Yeah, I do. I love that guy. But bringing it back, that's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want your gold. He doesn't want your myrrh if you got any. He doesn't want your frankincense. He just wants you. He just wants us. Lord, yeah, I've been saved since 19 such and such or 2000 this and that. And the Lord says, that's good, but come closer. I want to know you more. I want to know you better. That's all I want for my birthday is what the Lord would say. And the beautiful switcheroo, if you could call it that, is the Lord, he comes. It's his birthday, but he's giving gifts to us because he gave us salvation. I mean, we look around here, hopefully we're all saved. The ultimate gift that the Lord has given us. And like I said, all these things that we were looking for, he gave us. There's a Proverbs that he places the solitude or the solitary in families. And he's done that. So what can I give the Lord? Yourself. What did the Lord come to give us? His own self, his life. God dwelt in human flesh among us. He is the gift. So if it's been a while since you have given the Lord what he really wants for Christmas, yourself, it's time. Get closer or know him in the first place. And if you're thinking, well, he hasn't done so much for me, he's done infinite amounts. He died to save you, to take you to heaven, and he's taken a huge bite of how bad this world can be. Well, one more quote from an ancient saint, Andy, not Griffith, Williams. That's why it's the most wonderful time of the year. That's why it's a little bit better. Even though the world is crazy, it's a little bit better because we get to remember what Jesus did. Let's stand and let's pray. Lord, it's our prayer that we would be wise men and wise women. Lord, as these folks, well, you were worth it to them. And Lord, maybe in a lot of our hearts, if we were honest, we would say, we love you, but you're not as important as you once were. And Lord, if that's the case, I pray that you would tug on hearts and bring people back to where we should be. Loving you, in love with you, can't get enough of you. Returning us to our first love. And Lord, also if there's anyone here who has never trusted in you for salvation, the ultimate gift, Lord, that you would just tug on their heart. Let them know that it's free, that you're the best decision they'll ever make. Saved, unsaved, close or far, Lord, we just pray that not one person, including myself, none of us would leave the same way, Lord, that we'd all leave different, Lord. We thank you for Christmas, Lord. We thank you for the day after Christmas. Thank you for every day because you're with us through them all, Lord. And we ask it in your name, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.